Genesis 2, verse 7, particularly as the words of our text. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." There was a preacher of a former day, George Duncan, or G.B. Duncan, as he was known. He took meetings on one occasion in South Africa. One of the handbills and the posters that was designed and published for those meetings had a professor upon it, and the professor was standing looking into a mirror, and he was examining very closely the reflection of himself that was found in that mirror. And the caption that was written along the bottom of the picture was these words: "His greatest problem." And that is the reality, men and women of the world in which we are found. Man's greatest problem is himself. We look out today upon a world that is perplexed with many problems. The problem of war, the problem of famine, the great problem of poverty, so deep in many areas of the earth, the problem of disease, the problem of finance that has been so much to the fore in recent years. We look out on a world perplexed with many problems. But the fact, men and women, is this: man's greatest problem is himself. It is the fact of coming to terms with himself and who he really is. You ask today, why is that? Well, I can tell you why it is. It's because men have neglected the Bible. Men in the day in which we live have turned away from the Word of God. The society in which we are found, they won't listen to what God has to say about them in His Word. Can I ask you to remember this, men and women? Never forget it. All that you will ever need to know about yourself, it's in the Scriptures. It's found in this book. The answer to every question that you will have about yourself, the answer to every question that you will have about God, the answer to every question that you will have about eternity, it's all found in the book of God. And what I want us to do today for a little while is to look into the Bible and find a biblical view of man. We want to look at what God has to say about man himself. And we want to think of the questions or the theme: where are we coming from and where are we going? Those are two great questions, two vital questions. And you find the answers to them here in the portion of Scripture that is before us. The first thing I want you to notice is this: the source of man. Where did man come from? Well, the evolutionists, the scientists, they have their own notions about that matter. The evolutionist will say that once you were a tadpole beginning to begin, then you were a frog with your tail tucked in, then you were a monkey up a bamboo tree, and now you're a professor with a PhD. That's the creed of the evolutionist. He will tell you that once there was nothing, and nothing exploded, and from the exploding of nothing resulted this great and vast and wonderful universe in which we're found. And then he'll tell you it led on to us being evolved from a monkey. Can I ask you just to think about that? Can I ask you to ponder especially the question, how could nothing explode? Isn't it folly, to say the very least? The truth, men and women, is this: there is a creator, a former of all things. The text says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. How did man begin? He began by the creative act of God. God is the creator and man is the creature. And we do well to remember that great truth today. David said in the Psalms, "It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves." He said again in the Psalms, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." What a statement that is, men and women. And how true? Fearfully, wonderfully. Oh, the wonder of the human body. The human body, men and women, is not an accident. The human body is a miracle. It is something that has the stamp of God. It is something that has the stamp of the Creator upon it. And what I want to urge you to do this morning is to remember your Creator. I can encourage every person here today to do that. As you live your life, perhaps you have no time for God. How sad that is. Do you remember the hymn, Room for Business? And you have room for pleasure. But for Christ, the crucified, there's not a place that he can enter in your heart for which he died. You have no time for God, no time for his day. You're only here perhaps today from the constraint of some other family members. You have no time for God's word, no time for his law. And especially, you have no time for his great offer of salvation. Men and women, you need today to remember. Take time to remember the important things of life, the important things of this world. Take time especially to remember your Creator, the one who made you. We sometimes talk about our Maker, and I urge you today to remember your Maker, remember your Creator, the source of man. Think as well of the substance of man. The text says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's the substance of man. Man wasn't created from gold or silver. Man was just created from dust, the dust of the ground. The very thing that you walk upon constantly without giving any thought or any consideration to it. It's not a humbling fact, men and women. You know, God created the universe out of nothing. The words that are generally used by theologians to describe that are ex nihilo. Created the universe out of nothing. But he chose to create man out of something. But what God chose, the substance that he chose to create man out of, was something that was next to nothing. Because he just used the dust of the ground. The least substance of all. And you know, men and women, the reality is this. Regardless of what advances man thinks he has made in this world, regardless of what advances man thinks he has made in the day and the generation in which we live, there's one thing that can never be denied, and that is the fact that you're only dust. Just consider that very carefully this morning. Just consider the end that your body will come to whenever you die. Whether you choose to be buried or whether you choose to be cremated, the result will just be the same. Your end will be dust. And you know why that is, men and women? Because that's what you're made from. That's the substance that God used in the creation of mankind. The psalmist said, "He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." You see, men and women, in all of God's dealings with you, God never forgets what you are. He remembers that we are dust. But the great problem is this, that we do forget. We do forget where we came from and what we are. And we do forget where we're going to as well. We were formed from the dust. We are dust. And the fact is, one day we'll go back to the dust again. Do you know the result of forgetting where we came from? We get all puffed up and we get filled with pride. Man now thinks that he knows more than God. Man even thinks that he's got to the stage that he can do without God. Isn't that what Prince Philip himself once said a few years ago? We have now reached the place in human development and human society when we can do without God. How sad that is, men and women. The psalmist asked the question, what is man? Just take time to think of that this morning. It takes in every person here in this gathering. What is man? What are you, my friend? Well, the Bible answers, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. The substance of man. Think as well of the soul of man. The end of the verse says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I want you to notice that man has more than one part to his makeup. Man has a body, but he also has a soul. He has a physical part, but more than that, in addition to that, he has a spiritual part as well. And a soul, the soul that you have, that makes you different from every other creature on the earth. Remember, men and women, no other creature apart from mankind, no other creature has a soul. I want to emphasize and stress that to you this morning. People sometimes ask the question, when my dog dies, does the dog go to heaven? And the answer, I give it to you tenderly and gently, not wanting to hurt you or offend you, but the answer, men and women, is no. Elvis Presley once sang a song about a dog, Old Shep. Old Sheppy is gone with a good doggies go. Well, it's sentimental, but the reality is it's just sentimental nonsense. A dog doesn't have a soul. When it dies, it ceases to exist. But man is a soul. You have a soul, my friend. And that's what sets man, and that's what sets you apart from every other bit of God's creation. That's what sets you apart from every other creature, the soul that you have. And that soul, men and women, is immortal. What that means is that it will never die. Your soul will never end. Oh, your body will die. I'd like you to think about that. I'd like you to consider it carefully. Your body will die, but your soul will not. The Savior said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And in this meeting, we want to impress that truth, that reality upon your heart. We want to warn you, men and women, of that danger. The fact that your soul, the soul that you have, which is your most precious possession, that soul, my friend, could be lost. That soul could go to hell forever and forever. Can I ask you, each one today, as you sit in God's house, gathered here in God's presence, can I ask you the vital question, is it well with thee? Is it well with you in the light of eternity? Is it well with your soul, men and women? Remember, there's nothing more important. Doesn't matter what you can talk about, what other subject you can think about. There is nothing more important in this world than to know that your soul is ready for eternity. The soul of man. One other thing I want you to think about today, that's the sinlessness of man. And we're thinking of the sinlessness with which man was first created. If you look back to chapter 1 of the book of Genesis, to verse 26 of the chapter, it begins with these words. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Isn't it interesting that God made the animals after their kind, but he made man after his image? That was not a bodily image, because remember, God has no body. The New Testament reminds us that God is a spirit. God doesn't have a body. Sometimes you read in the Bible about the finger of God, the hand of God, the face of God, and so on. Those are what are known as anthropomorphisms. They're attributing of bodily parts to God. But the only reason that it's done, men and women, is to help us, to help our understanding, to give us a better understanding of the ways and the purposes of God. God doesn't have a body. God is a spirit. The image of God that man was created with was an image of God's character. You think of what Ephesians says about the Christian. They put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul's teaching there, when you become a Christian, you receive the image of God. That's the image of righteousness and true holiness. And men and women, that's the image of God that Adam had in the Garden of Eden. Adam possessed righteousness and true holiness. We teach and we preach in our gospel meetings about original sin, and rightly so. But always remember that before original sin, there was original righteousness. Because originally, when he was first created, Adam was holy. Everything that he did was holy. Every motive, every thought, it was completely pure. But oh, how different a man is today. You think of how unholy. You think of how sinful a man is in the day and generation in which we live. You know, people blasphemously say, if God created man, he didn't do a very good job. How wrong that is, men and women. What God made was very good. What God made was perfect. And I want to stress to you this morning that Adam was the only mortal that came into this world sinless. The problem with people today is this. They think that they are like Adam at the beginning. People still imagine that they're sinless. People still imagine that they're without blame. And perhaps you're one of them. Can I tell you, men and women, that's not original righteousness. There's another name, there's another term for that sort of thinking and that sort of lifestyle. It's self-righteousness. I wonder, is there a self-righteous person in this meeting today? You think you're good enough the way you are. You think you're good enough the way you live to get into heaven. If there is a self-righteous person in the meeting, can I ask you to listen to what God says in his word? John said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Do you know the only person you're fooling today and deceiving is yourself? Do you remember what Isaiah said? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. That's how God views your righteousness. The best that you can offer, the best that you can bring, it's just as filthy rags in his sight. Paul said, writing to the Romans, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a doubt, men and women. You're a sinner. Will you face that today? Will you own up to it? You're a sinner. And you deserve to be punished. You deserve to be punished for all of God's great eternity. Can I finish with this thought for you? There's a point of contrast. Whenever Adam was created, he didn't need a savior. Sin hadn't entered. Adam at that point wasn't a sinner. But remember, you're not in that position. You are a sinner, my friend. And you need a savior. And what I want to exhort you to do in this meeting, this morning, I want to exhort you to call upon him. Call upon him today, in this meeting. Call upon him just now for salvation. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Remember, he'll not always be found and he'll not always be near. God will not always be speaking to your heart. The door of salvation will not always be open to you. I exhort you, call upon the Lord today. Call upon him in this house. For salvation. A biblical view of man. Where are we coming from? And where are we going? We've come from the dust, men and women, and our bodies are going back to the dust. But I want you to think about eternity. Where are you going? What will your destination be in eternity? If you're without Christ, if you're lost, You're on the road to a lost eternity. The road you're on will bring you to destruction. And our prayer, our plea today is you'll turn from that road and you'll turn on to the narrow road so that you'll be able to say with many in this meeting that you're on your way to heaven. You're going to be with the Lord when your life upon this earth is ended. I pray the Lord will bless his word to all our hearts this morning. 704.